You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up? What's up? Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek. He's Zach. You know it by now.
Happy Tuesday. It's hot out, sun's out, players are returning to Bills practice, namely Dalton Kincaid. Looks to have missed one day with some knee soreness, back on the field in full pads as Bills get underway at St. John Fisher for, I believe, day number six.
You love to see it.
There we go. We'll listen back to Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who spoke earlier this morning. We'll listen back to that in about hour number two. We'll also hear from Sal Capaccio a little bit later on in this hour. Yeah. Camp is underway. We've got two more days until we have a football game with the Hall of Fame game.
My favorite thing to annoy Joe Cali with now, by the way.
Josh,
you watching the Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, no.
Do
no.
it.
The hardest
no.
head shake.
Do it.
No.
Do it just to annoy Joe Cali. Come on. It's fun to mess with your friends.
No.
Come
here's,
on.
Here's my thing, though, with the Hall of Fame
game.
Well,
now I'm texting you. At 8 o'clock on Thursday night saying, are you watching the Hall of Fame game? Because this is lit.
Here's my thing, though. Honestly, with the Hall of Fame game, I will watch it initially.
Yes. Like, you are the perfect middle ground.
I will get home around when kickoff is because everything says it starts at 8. It starts at about 8:10, 8:15.
Right.
That's about as long as it takes me to get home.
Exactly.
And I'll have it on. And I'll watch the first two drives. And then I will look at my girlfriend or my family or whoever I'm watching with and go, do you want to watch a movie?
You're going to look at this and
then
remember,
we will turn on a movie.
You will remember, oh, these are exclusively third and fourth stringers playing in this game.
Well, because and that's the thing, too.
I've made a mistake.
You very rarely in that game end up getting like the really fun rookie to watch. Rookie quarterback
or
you know, Travis Hunter could be one of those guys. No, it's the Lions and the Chargers. And like, sure, I like Amarian Hampton.
Am I going to watch
a full game of what you, like even what you said, we're eventually going to get to third and fourth stringers playing. No.
Yes, and ready? You are the perfect reaction of a football fan watching the Hall of Fame game. Josh shaking his head vehemently, that's the wrong way to do it. Me?
You got to turn it on at least a little
watching
bit.
It until there's the inevitable power outage in the third quarter is also the wrong way to do it.
Yes. Okay, at least you understand that.
I know I have a problem, but it's fun. At least for me.
My friends and I
made it a tradition at this point. We watched that game after getting back to our hotel room in Indianapolis, and we just, like, that's
and you throw it on.
Yeah, we throw it on and laugh at terrible players making terrible plays.
It's just, for me,
is it mean? Yes.
Yeah, but
like, do I have fun with it, though? Absolutely.
But every year, it's the same thing of, like, ooh, like, football's back. It's the first game in months. Like, we're all going to, most of us will get excited to turn it on and have the exact same reaction after two series and go, this was a mistake.
Yes.
I could have gone out to dinner tonight. I could have thrown on the movie me and my wife have been talking about watching.
You could do both.
You
could do both. You can go out to dinner and be watching the Hall of Fame game in the background.
I see. Well, actually, yeah, because it probably will be on.
It'll be on.
If you go
on NBC.
It'll be on, likely. I cannot ever get there with it. And I used to, when I was much younger, too, it was sort of the same thing like the Pro Bowl. Like, I would get excited for it, and like I'd sit down and watch it. But it was always that game, no matter how young I was, where eventually I was just like,
the difference
who are
between,
these people?
The difference between you and me there is when I was young, the Pro Bowl, they actually played football.
That's right. That's right.
So that is probably where its difference lies. But I just need you to do me one favor. Text Joe Cali on Thursday night.
I'll text him that I turned it off.
But that you watched it, though.
Well, I always plan on watching it. I do not get further than two series. I don't make it out of the first quarter.
Yeah. It's become my bit at this point over the last 3 weeks, and I love it because I learned how much it annoys him. And every week, Joe Cali says something on the Saturday show that like makes me question reality itself.
Yep.
So
the Navy blue jerseys.
Is my one form of vengeance because that's what friends do.
Yeah, that is nice. It is weird, though, the Hall of Fame game. It does start earlier than, like, everything.
Yes.
Like, college football, they're starting to get into their, like, kind of summer workouts and everything like that. But the first game isn't until August 23rd, and that's going to be in Dublin for week zero. Like,
right.
The Hall of Fame game is very weirdly placed. I know why it's there, because we have the Hall of Fame ceremonies and stuff. I understand that. It's just very weird where it is placed.
They still don't do enough for, like, the... They don't do enough for the amenities of that place. I really think they just need it. But put more. If you're going to host an NFL game there every year, and it is an NFL game.
It is.
It is recorded within history. It is an NFL game. Its stats are recorded, everything. If you're going to play an NFL game there every day or every year, update the facility.
I wonder if that's part of the mystique, though, that it is like effectively a high school stadium. That, like, we're not going to touch it. We use it once a year. No one really watches it. We just get everyone on the field. It's Canton. Like, that's got its own mystique to it. I haven't been to Canton in years. I actually do want to go back because it's been a long time since I've been there. But I think that's part of the appeal to it is that it is a high school stadium hosting an NFL game for one time. That's it. And then it goes away for a year.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't be against if it went away forever and we just had the Hall of Fame, like, ceremonies. I've thought about that for a few years. I'm like, who would honestly be upset if the Hall of Fame game just disappeared?
All right.
Gone.
I don't need to do this for a third week in a row. We can move on from the Hall of Fame game just for the sake of everyone's ears.
But is that because you're going to say that you would be upset if it went away?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I would I would start putting up a staunch defense here, and I don't need to do that again.
803-0550, the number two call. We're also, of course, covering training camp from St. John Fisher. And it is brought to you by Figo Car and Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Buy Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. So, yes, as we did mention, guys like Dalton Kincaid are back on the field. He misses just one day of camp with knee soreness. He's back on the field, full pads. Does not look like he's working off to the side either. Elijah Moore and Tyrell Shavers appear to be. But on the offensive side of the ball, and I do kind of want to keep up with this for a lot of today because I think it's interesting. And this came from Air Raid over on Twitter, and he was talking about Keon Coleman and looking at maybe what his stats could be for year two. And Coleman has been sort of a difficult guy to piece down of, like, really what would be a good year two for him. We all know what a great season would be, right? Over 1,000 yards, double-digit touchdowns. He leads the team in targets and receptions. I mean, it completely explodes, right? We all know what a great year looks like.
Yeah.
But what is a year where you can walk away going, yeah, that was a good pick. And I'm happy with where his development is, and you're going into year three pretty confident. Because this year, this offseason has been kind of up and down of, like, how people have really felt about him.
What is the line that says, write it down in Sharpie?
Mm-hmm.
Lock it in.
Yeah. And so Air Raid put it up on Twitter, and he said, if you combine Keon Coleman and Matt Collins' 2024 production, you'd get 60 catches, 934 yards, 15.6 yards per catch, and 9 touchdowns. And to be fair, I look at that stat line.
Adds in that it should be the goal for Coleman in year two, logging a ton of snaps and get after it in the run game, make timely catches, be the red zone threat. And there's a lot of logic to it as well. Credit to Air Raid on this, because you think about it. Josh Palmer's brought in to take a good amount of the snap share from Matt Collins and Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
When Cooper arrived, he played a lot. It's what happened.
Yep.
He just didn't get the ball a lot more than we would have all liked for him to. But someone's got to take the rest of those snaps. Palmer's going to take a chunk of those from the two players combined. That took a lot of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a leftover. Who do you think takes it? Like, obviously, Elijah Moore is going to get his, but Keon Coleman should be adding to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if he could take... I would doubt that you get all the production. Like, you can't just fuse the two of them together, for example, when it comes to the stat lines, because Palmer exists and Moore exists, and all of them have experience playing on the outside as well, so they'll probably rotate in and out and everywhere on the offense. But if I hear the word 900 in terms of Keon Coleman's stat line, I'm hammering it in. Because that's a good year for an offense whose philosophy is worn on the offensive coordinator's hat or his shirt.
Right.
I'm There's a more than 0% chance that Joe Brady gets an Everybody Eats tattoo sometime in his life.
Could see it happening, absolutely. He seems to very much love that.
He loves the idea of it, and it even dates back to LSU. He also had elite receivers that you needed to get the football, so everyone should eat.
Mm-hmm.
But the philosophy's still there, even dating back. He likes to distribute. He likes to have balance so that defenses have to keep guessing. And that is something that I really love about the offensive philosophy. And if I get a player with 900 yards in that offensive philosophy with a roster of capable receivers, mm-hmm. I take it.
It is funny, though, looking at that stat line. If that truly was his stat line, comparing it to last year's Bills receiver room,
mm-hmm.
it's like blowing everyone out of the water, like outside of receptions. Shakir would still beat him. Shakir had 76 last year. If he had 60, he'd be, I think, second on the team. Yards. Blows him out of the water. He'd have more touchdowns. He would have four more touchdowns than the next closest, Matt Collins. But, of course, we're combining their stats. I get it. But it's just it is – I look at that stat line, though, and this is where I've brought up, I don't really know if we're going to get exactly what we did last year, just a little bit more improved. I don't really know if the Bills want to throw under 520 passes a season with Josh Allen at quarterback. Yes, you've liked running the football and it's worked, but your best weapon is still Josh Allen. It is still him spreading the ball around and moving the ball through the air.
You do need, though, to in order to be the most efficient mm-hmm, on offense, mm-hmm. and Brady mentioned that yesterday when he talked with Jeremy and Joe, of, you know, the efficiency. You want to keep humming.
Yeah.
How do you do it? Incorporating balance. And the Bills have the offensive line to allow for that balance. They have the roster for that balance. Yes, Josh Allen is the MVP. Why did he get it last year, though? Not just because of narrative base, but it also is because the run game was effective enough that you could not assume that they're throwing the football mm-hmm. 520 times in a season.
Right.
It's not something that you can assume at that point. The run game, then, is an effective counterpunch to where...
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Oh, do we really have to drop? But it's also, there's no way we're dropping the safety into the box. Josh Allen will kill us over the top.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to play the too high. There is a bit of a defending Josh Allen means that maybe less is more. Can you be more efficient? Still deadly, but more efficient.
And so when
and I think
when
Brady has figured out that puzzle.
When I look, though, at that stat line, that probably tells me he's becoming pretty efficient. That's where Keon was not great at all last year.
The efficiency needs to be better.
But it's the efficiency in terms of catch percentages. He was at 50-50 in terms of successful pass rate. He was well below everyone else, I think at around 43% last year.
44% if you round it up, yes.
So that's where I see the stat line, and I'm like, okay, well, that bumped up. Shakir is already, I mean, to most Bills fans, one of their better slot receivers they've ever had, and they just recently had Cole Beasley, and this is after 1 year of really going. He's been awesome in that role. Then you add in Josh Palmer, and his separation analytics really point to he should be a favorite target for Allen, let alone what we've heard from the Bills GM and Brandon Bean. He's talked a lot about him. Joe Brady's talked about him, and then Allen and him, they've started connecting more and more as practice has gone on. Just looking at those three, you can feel pretty good about it. Then if Kincaid can kind of get back to what he was in his rookie year, and all of a sudden, you know, Samuel, if he's healthy and kind of can do what he was doing at the end of the year, it does point to it's a much more efficient passing game. It doesn't have to be Allen willing the team at times to wins. You know, Mac Collins leading the team in touchdowns.
Right.
And having less than 400 yards receiving, it can be both a more balanced attack, but also a more explosive attack. I think that might be the most frustrating thing with their passing attack. It did not feel explosive. There were games they absolutely won throwing the ball. Detroit and LA, they didn't win.
It was about that E word, efficiency.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they were not efficient and they were not particularly explosive. Keon has a few moments, but there was very rarely a feeling with that team. that they could go into a game and throw the ball 50 times and it would work. Last year was a struggle with that.
I don't think they want to.
I don't think they want to.
They want to be efficient. They want to keep humming. They want to be consistent. I think that's Brady's ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, is it a little blasphemous to say that when you have Josh Allen as a quarterback? Yes, but I think part of the success has to do with you're going to limit him doing too much. You're going to limit the chaos gremlin that lives in the back of Allen's head that now less and less over time shows its face. But what was the line? Sugar high Josh.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see it anymore.
No, that's right.
Not under Brady.
That's right.
And that's because there is balance and efficiency to this offense. There is something to, you do not have to feed one specific target. You don't have to carry the team on your back. We have the balance that we can get things going. If there's a little bit of a logjam with the passing game, you can go ahead and get Cook, Davis, Johnson, whoever's working that day to run the football for you.
But now they do have a two-year sample size on film of, hey, they like to run the football and they do it well. That's where I think they maybe are set up better this year to throw the ball because James Cook is a threat. You do have a better run game that you can lean on that now all of a sudden, I mean, that's look at Baltimore. Like they were
You're thinking the counter to the counter.
Yeah. Now you've built this in for 2 years. The run game has been working. Now you can kind of go back to the passing game with the Bills. They have better personnel. I think that is absolutely true from last year. They have better personnel and you can start to work that back in. It doesn't have to, I think my frustration is, it doesn't have to be a season for Allen in the passing game of, ooh, the stats kind of aren't great, but it was okay, it was good. I mean, and they won games, but the stat line isn't awesome. You can be uber efficient and still put up stat lines. And I think they have the personnel and now the film that they can do that. And,
yes.
And it will be guys like Keon and Palmer and Shakir hitting that next stride, that next step that can push them back. I'm not saying I need Allen to throw for 5,000 yards. I'm not at all. Most of those guys that end up doing that, there's very few examples where that actually turns out that it's a great season. It's more a lot of the lines of the defense is bad and we've got to play catch up. Burrow's season from last year, he puts up a lot of numbers, but a lot of it was due to the fact of he constantly had to. But I think we can get back to Allen being a 4,000 yard passer, 34 touchdown passes.
Considering that he almost got there anyway, it's 39, 38.
Absolutely.
On the team, he had 37.
Mm-hmm.
I will say yes and no. Because what defensive coordinator in their bright mind is going to take too high off the board against Allen? What defense is going to, in their right mind, think, yeah, no, it's going to be a good idea to actually focus a little bit more on the run? That would be insane.
Well, look what the Bills had to do, though, when they're going up against guys like Derrick Henry. They have to sell out to stop the run, and so the pass opens up. Now, the Bills' defense was very good last year, and when that happened, they forced turnovers.
Defenses, though, would refuse to do that against Allen.
See, I don't know about that. I think it could happen. You don't want to just sit there and go, we'll let them kill us with the run. We'll let James Cook go off for 145 and dominate time of possession.
I hope you're right.
There will be teams, though, that have to do it because they don't have the personnel. But there will be other teams that, no, like we can stop the run. We'll let them try. We'll let Josh Palmer and Keon Coleman try to beat us through the air. And that's where they're going to have to show Keon much better in year two. And Palmer, hey, I'm not a slouch. You know, it's more towards what 2022 was, where he had almost 110 targets. He had 700 yards, 3 touchdowns, and he was coming up.
And again, I think there is no defensive coordinator in their right mind wants to focus too much on that. I hope you're right. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I want a defensive coordinator to pick an entire game plan where they're not playing too high. Have fun. Go after it. I genuinely believe in that. But I also know that in the NFL, you try to do whatever you can to survive when you're facing high-octane offenses.
Right.
And that's what you have to do, especially because nickel defense is becoming more of the commonplace in the NFL in terms of base defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you can run the football, we're bigger than you. We're going to get after it.
Yeah.
And it's not to be a run-first team. It is to open everything up.
Mm-hmm.
It is to be a counterpunch. Then we can set everything else up that we want to do. Except for screens. Bills are not good at those. Please
screens
stop.
Have not gone well for them
please
at
stop,
all.
Please stop running screens forever. Thank you. You're welcome.
I want them to be good at screens,
though. I want them to be good at it.
Well, because that's one of those, too. It's an easy button, which that a lot of teams can
funny.
Just – we can get it
they
going.
Have the offensive line to do it.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
They can't defend them. They can't run them. That's been a thing for almost 10 years now. They just have not really been able to do it at all.
It's infuriating.
803-0550, the number two call. Sal Capaccio going to be joining us at about 10:30 to get his thoughts on practice yesterday, what he's seeing so far to start today. Also, some of the injury updates as well. But let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's go to Mike up first. Mike, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. Me. You guys are talking about, you know, Joe Brady and balancing out and everything. I think that we forget what actually happened last year. I mean, statistically, he ran so much on first down and put Josh in on a lot of second and long situations. There's the two games between the Chiefs and the Colts games back to back. He ran the ball on first down 29 times, and 21 times Josh was faced with a second and long. Yes, we had some good runs last year, but he was so run heavy on first down that Josh kept on. I mean, thank God we have Josh. I mean, I just think that. When you look at the actual statistics from last year, especially first down runs, how little yardage they actually gained when he's trying to balance things out, I think that we need Josh to throw the ball more and use the run as an effective alternative. Rather than this 50-50 complementary offense, go back and look at the stats. It's the number of times that he was forced to and then I'm digressing, but the running backs out of the backfield in terms of the pass catch rate. And where they got the ball thrown to them, you look at Cook last year, and the average spot that he received the ball on a pass was within 1 yard of the line of scrimmage. I mean, how many times did we see that little swing out to the side to our running back, and it didn't do anything? I really think that Joe Brady, I'm hoping he gets a little bit more creative this year. I mean, four of the last five times we did the tush push, Josh got stopped. Three out of four, and then we still do it at in the Chiefs game at the end of the year. I think he gets a little bit.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call. We get your point on that. On the tush push thing, Allen has to pick a different side. We can criticize him for that. He went to the same side every time. Now, I agree on the first down stuff, and this is where I was pushing towards the balance and the personnel. I think they can throw the ball more, where last year it was at times Allen kind of having to will them, especially in the passing game. Mac Hollins leading them in touchdown catches and such. I think they can do that more. But in the rushing attack, they were top 10 in most categories in running the ball.
They were
so it wasn't a bad idea. First down, yeah, they probably went to it too much, and they put themselves in second and long situations. I think that was much more due to the passing game personnel not really giving you much.
They were also seventh in third down percentage for conversion rate, while taking, when it came to the amount of third downs they had to face, mm-hmm. the seventh least. So they were efficient on third down. That means that you did at least a good job on first and second down, right? That's what those numbers have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
In order to face the seventh least amount of third downs, that means you are putting yourself in a good position. You're moving the chains a lot.
Yeah.
But it also tells you that if you're the seventh best team in converting them, that you are putting yourself in a good spot, or you have a fire god.
Yeah.
The Bills also, how did they do it? By run, by pass, they were sixth in terms of first downs by running the football last year. In the pass, they were 18th.
I think a lot of that was due to personnel. They did not have the personnel, due to personnel they trusted.
And I think that the personnel's upgraded this year.
We'll see by how but much, but
gonna,
I agree.
But I'm not going to hear the run game wasn't this good when they ran for over 2,000 yards as a team and they were sixth best in doing it with moving the chains via the run.
Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, the top 10 teams in terms of yards last year running the ball, it's playoff teams. It's Baltimore, Philly, Washington, Tampa, Green Bay, Detroit, Arizona, Indy, and then Buffalo. So for the most part, it's playoff teams.
Again, I hope you're right that defenses focus more on the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to let Allen uncork it. Have fun with that. But deep balls are not a high percentage play as in the first place. They're not.
Yeah.
It's okay, to say that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily need to see like moonshots and stuff because I don't think
Allen's particularly. It's a public service announcement. It's okay.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio coming up next from training camp. This is WGR.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.